Lord, I thank you that we can open your word and hear from you. I pray that my heart and the hearts of everyone here will be tender towards your word, that we will recognize how much you care, how much you love, how much you reach into our lives and assist us and guide us and direct us and just give us peace where there seems to be no reason for it. I just pray today, God, that each of us can just melt into your arms as we listen to your word. Continue to prepare us for the works that you've made for us. In your holy name, Jesus. Amen. This is a chunk of scripture. We're not going to cover all of this today. Some of it we covered last week. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're on page 1784 in the Pew Bibles. Ephesians 2. And this is a passage that's pretty familiar to a lot of people. I think I'm going to put you on the spot, Kay, if that's all right. You said you've memorized Ephesians now through chapter 3. You don't want to claim 4 yet. Just starting into 4. That's a huge thing. I haven't done chunks of scripture for a long time, so it's impressive.
Here.
Yeah. What translation are you learning that in?
NIV,
okay.
Which is kind of hard because when I was younger, I did American Standard.
Right.
And I had that stuck.
And I kind of get that, too, with King James, New King James, New American Standard, English Standard Version, NIV. And it's like, okay, we want to hide God's word in our heart. If it's not perfect word for word from a translation, the concepts are the same in all the different translations. Do you want to quote from verse 1-1 all the way through, or you'd rather not?
That's okay.
You'll pass this time, some other time? Okay.
I'm going to get it all down.
Okay. Well, probably about the time you've got it all memorized, we'll be getting to the last chapter. And
but a girlfriend of mine who's 70 did the whole book of Philippians.
Yeah.
And she can do the whole thing in 22 minutes.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
She's younger than she is.
Yeah. Well, starting with verse 8, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this, not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So today's text is actually just verse 10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you think about all that God's created, God's handiwork. How many places have you been where you're just like, wow. He's created a lot of places with the wow factor. In fact, you can be in the same place, and 10 minutes later, there's a new wow because it's constantly changing. It doesn't stay the same. It's continually progressing and growing, and you know, the sun's shining now. We might have a storm by tonight. There could be more snow on the ground. But all of it is kind of, you know, God's wow factor. Larry, did you get to use your machine finally?
I did.
Does it work pretty well?
Better than me.
God's handiwork. Now, that's going to be a little dark because of the sun shining through the windows. But how many of you recognize some of these works of art? This handiwork. This first one here. Anybody recognize that?
The Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa. Okay, so you remember the artist and everybody. And who was that?
Leonardo da Vinci.
Leonardo da Vinci, the Leo guy. He painted this. And this is one of his handiworks. He did a lot of nice things. But if you try to find, you know, what was his masterpiece? What was one of the best things? That would have been one of them that would come up. And then the one beside that. Most of you probably remember Grant Wood, American Gothic. And he has a lot of other paintings too, but this is the one that probably stands in our minds most. It's been caricatured in a lot of different ways. I think one of my favorites is when he's got the pitchfork and she's down on the ground and no, that was a cartoon I saw. But yeah, people play with these handiworks too. It's like, okay, we can take some things that God's created, some things that, that some other artist has created, and just kind of rearrange it and make it our own sometimes. And there's ways to play around with them. I wanted to wear my tie that matches this, the Scream. And Edvard Munch, he's actually, part of why that's such a famous painting is because he made more than one of them, and it's on display in different continents even. It's very famous that way, but that's been one that's been played with a lot as well. The juxtaposition of, you got these ships out in the harbor, and then, you know, the colorful sky, and then this person, and who knows what they're going through. What I think all of us have kind of felt like that sometimes, where our minds and our hearts aren't matching the environment around us, and it just can make us a little crazy at times. And he captured that in a painting, and it's, again, something that's fun to see. Anybody recognize the artist here? Not one of probably his best-known works, but that's Pablo Picasso. He was a very gifted artist. He didn't always show it with some of his work, in my mind, but that's just a matter of opinion. We did get to see some of his mosaics were on display in Seattle one time in a traveling museum and traveling display. He had lots and lots of different mediums that he worked with, and this was kind of more of the blue period type thing, and it's just called The Old Guitarist. There's an old guy with a guitar. Down here. My tie, yeah. Van Gogh, The Starry Night. And you know, there's a lot of others. Probably his self-portrait's another one that you would recognize if you saw it. This here, I don't know how well the picture's getting out to you there, but that's a Salvador Dali with the melting watches and things, kind of just... It's got time melting all over the place, and he did a lot of weird juxtaposition with objects and shapes and things. And then this is one of my favorite artists. Anybody recognize the artist there? Marilyn. And those two little snow people there, that's Kathy and I. Part of why that's dear to me, shortly after George had his stroke, and, you know, Thanksgiving, the very next month, Christmas, Marilyn hasn't got time to do anything. She's rushing around. She stopped and took the time to draw that, to paint that and do the watercolor, and gave that to us as a Christmas card with a nice note inside. And it's things like that where people put their heart into their work. And I think every one of these pieces, it's... You're not going to create a masterpiece without letting part of your heart into that. And so when God says that we are his masterpiece, we are his poem, in the Greek it's very close to poem, we're his top work, his best of the best. And we think of, you know, you can look at Mount Index when you're driving down the road, or you can see Mount Rainier from almost any part of the state. And there's so many different gorgeous places. You get down into the Puget Sound and you can watch a whale do some spy hopping as you're taking the ferry across, and realize that the Cascades are behind you and the Olympics are in front of you. And if you turn around, it doesn't matter what direction you're looking, God's creation, God's beauty is there. And he says, that's good. But when he got to creating man at the end of creation, he says, and it was very good. And so he sees us as more than just his beginning creation. It's not just one of his pieces. We are his poem. We are his masterpiece when he starts talking about the church. Here's a few examples. Again, even when we had smoky days, the sky was beautiful around here. That was the sun. You could look directly at it and not hurt your eyes. And yet it was still gorgeous, and people are around town taking pictures. I think that was from Ashley or somebody behind the church taking it this direction. And you see the mountains there, and it's just the beauty all around us. Somebody asked me last night, do you enjoy living up here? That's an easy one. Yeah. from the other direction, there's just, it's covered in snow, and you can see the little light from the church there and the mountains behind it again. The sky keeps changing. Again, you could sit in one place in this valley and just look in the same direction, and 20 minutes later, it's going to be a different view. And it keeps getting better and better. And then we've got some of the people in the valley, too. And some of you probably recognize your spots in there. I think Karen's in there, and Sharon, and Kathy, and I don't remember who all else was.
Jennifer and Kathy.
Jennifer's there, too. Yeah, hi, Jennifer. So, yeah, there's quite a few people in that photo are here in this body. And you were creating a masterpiece and learning something about how to do something. Now, if you're going to call it a true masterpiece and be recognized by the whole world, you know, you got to do a lot more practice. But every one of those was frameable from just one lesson. I mean, it's pretty remarkable what God can put in us and do through us. And we were created to do good works. This is one thing. It's like, okay, how many of us wake up in the morning and think we can do anything? You used to think that when you were in preschool or kindergarten. You could do anything, right? You could dance, you could sing, whatever it was. And then we get older and we start getting crusty like a barnacle. You guys know the barnacle story, right? When they're first born, they're swimming around. They're free. When they start to mature, they put their head on a boat or a rock or something, and they grow this crust around. And then they've got their feet just kicking out there and pulling in the nutrients to pull it down into their head that they're hiding in. Too many of us live like barnacles. And we don't live free, like preschoolers. You get to hang out with preschoolers a bit.
Yeah.
They're free, right? Does Wesley ever worry about what's going to happen? It's just like, no fear. Boom, gone. Let's go. Let's try this. You want me to jump off the roof? Okay. I mean, yeah, I'm sure I can land in that snow pile and not hurt myself, right? There's the moon over Maloney. How many different times have we just looked up at Maloney Peak, Sobieski, and noticed that there's God's handiwork, God's masterpiece, continues day after day after day. Do we stay the same, or do we keep changing and improving too? And it's not like that's a bad scene, but I've seen other ones too. And then we get to see the red moon sometimes, and there's so many different times where that moon just starts to sneak over the hillside. It's like, wow, there it is again, God. It's still there, and it's still beautiful, and it's a little bit different than last time I saw it. There's another beautiful painted sky behind the church building. Here's a masterpiece. That young man, Chase, that wanted to get in a cold, cold river to proclaim his love for God. And then when I started slipping on the rock, he grabbed me. You know, that's church body life, right? We take care of each other. When you see somebody falling, you just get them. And then there, the Skykomish River, the South Fork right there. They're just, I can't think of anything that I've watched in creation. I've looked in microscopes, I've looked in telescopes, I've seen giant, giant things that are far, far away, and tiny little things that are so close that, and they're, you can't even see them. And God's creation is in all of that, and it's all good, and he said it, proclaimed it's good, but then he created us. And he says, we are God's handiwork. We are God's ultimate poem, his masterpiece, his work that he put together. He said, created in Christ. Now here's Paul writing to followers of Jesus, and he's bringing that up again. We're in Christ. As we're in Christ, we're created to do good works. And I think probably going back to these verses here, verse 10, where it starts with, for we are God's handiwork, that's not the one that most people remember when they learn them. If you're going to get scripture memory verses, oftentimes it's just 8 and 9. It's by grace you've been saved, through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. it's like, okay, because I think our tendency probably is too often to just say, yeah, that I'm pretty cool, I can boast. Look, I'm pretty good, I think I'm good enough to get into heaven. But no, and Paul specifically, as he's writing this, he's writing to a group of people that have met Jesus, but they didn't meet him the way that Paul met him. Paul met Jesus as a Jew that was trying to serve God. And he thought that he was pretty hot stuff. Okay? He talks about if anybody has reason to boast, I have more. But then he later says, yeah, but none of that matters. Because we can't boast because it's all God anyway. But what he would have boasted about in that setting, in that time period, was he was born a Jew. And he wasn't just a Jew, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. And then he goes on and points out all the different reasons why he's really special. In fact, he was actually, as a young man, was progressing in the Jewish hierarchy, so he was part of the Sanhedrin, this young man. And he's part of the top 70 religious leaders in the world, in his world. You ever watch people when they start to get power, they sometimes forget where they came from? They let that go to their head? Paul was kind of there, and Jesus said, hey, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? And he changed. And then he starts saying, okay, he goes to the Gentiles, the people that don't have his pedigree, because he's like, well, God loves them too. They need to hear this good gospel news too. It's not just for us that we're born into God's chosen people. And in fact, even way back in the Old Testament, when God talked to Abram before he was Abraham, and he said, I'm going to make of you a great nation and you will bless all peoples. It's not just for the Hebrews, the Jews. It was for all nations. And as you read through Scripture, God will talk about Assyria and say, Assyria is my handiwork. Assyria is my country too. We need to be careful that we don't start looking around the world and saying, yeah, America, go, rah, rah. I mean, I love America. I'm glad I was born into this nation. I can't think of a more blessed place to be born. But that doesn't make me any more deserving or better than someone that was born in Venezuela, who's going through turmoil and crisis and trials right now. Or Nicaragua or Colombia or anywhere else. Or any of the Middle East countries. Or Afghanistan. Or we can choose a place in the world where we think, oh, that's a pretty tough spot. Those people are bad people. We can start thinking that way. Like, but wait, they can look at America and say, those people are bad people too. And guess what? We're both right. And we're both wrong. You're created in the image of God as a human. So, this part about we can't boast and all that, I'm totally in agreement with that. But going back to, we are God's handiwork. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we're not saved by works. But we were created to do good works. If you're alive in Christ, you're alive to do good works. And if you're not doing good works, you might want to do some self-evaluation. Do I know Jesus? Am I really alive or am I faking? And those good works aren't just any good works. They're good works specifically for you, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, in the King James 21st Century Bible, it's a little bit different wording, but the same thing here. We are His workmanship instead of handiwork, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. You think about, you walk in the way, right? In Scripture, oftentimes when it's talking about your walk, it's talking about your inner being, your life, your ethos. Where are you mentally, emotionally, spiritually? What are you actually doing with your life? We either walk in darkness or we walk in light. We either walk in the path of sin or we're walking with Jesus. We've gotten the Spirit as a deposit to guarantee, but ask the Holy Spirit's in us, there's going to be Holy Spirit fruit. If, again, we've talked about if you're an apple tree, you're going to produce apples. If you're a Christian, you're going to produce Holy Spirit fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things, and a lot of other things as well. We don't just get salvation so that we can have a fire insurance policy, get out of hell free. I mean, that's a good thing, right? No, nobody wants to be damned for eternity. And yet, there's a whole lot more to salvation than that. If you enjoy this creation, Scripture talks about it just being a shadow of what God has to come. When He creates new heaven and new earth, and we get to spend eternity with Him, day after day after day, forever and ever. Like I said, I mean, you can watch Maloney Peak and it's going to change today. You'll see different views today. And in God's eternal creativity, we're going to never get bored and never run out of wonderful experiences, and relationally we can grow deeper and deeper and get better and better. I love what I've been seeing in this congregation, frankly, as far as when Kathy and I first came up here 7.5 years ago now, we started loving everybody right away, but as far as church was concerned, it was like it was from 10 to 11, and that was it. You'd get here at 10, you'd leave at 11, and there wasn't a whole lot of stuff going on around in between. Now, some of the people did get together with one another, but now I'm seeing people lingering and people wanting to spend time with one another, and I'm hearing about people that are having each other for dinner, and you're not having each other for dinner, you're having each other over for dinner. That would be a little cannibalistic. We don't want to go there. But it's kind of beautiful to watch how God is growing each of us, even from glory to glory. It wasn't a bad thing. 7.5 years ago, this was a beautiful place, and I loved being here. And I'm loving it more and more and more. And as we watch the stewards have almost retired, a couple of years out still, Larry couldn't wait for you.
He's older.
and Nick and Marion, and there's others that have started to come into the community, and they've all been just accepted with open arms. We've got, you know, Mark and Andy drive all the way up from Monroe. No matter the weather, it seems like, you know. Come up with crutches or without, it's all good. And I'm sure it's because he loves the fellowship he's getting here, the people in this congregation are loving and accepting and kind and demonstrating Holy Spirit fruit. And the more of that I see, and if the world gets to see it the way we get to see it with one another, they're going to be drawn to that. They're going to want to know, wow, what have they got? How can we get some of that? We want some of that peace that surpasses understanding. We want some of that joy that even in the midst of trials and troubles and tribulations. Let me ask, how many of you right now, somebody in your family, in your close family or close friends, is going through some severe physical problems? Cancer, stuff. I mean, it's happening to all of us. And yet God can give us peace through that and work us through that and constantly be our comfort and our guide and our caregiver, because He's creating us for good works. And part of that is just that ministry of presence. When Jim, when your brother wants to call you for the 23rd time in one day, it's just because he knows you're a listening ear. You're there for him. And that comes from God. And when you start feeling frustrated, that comes from you. And we're all there. I mean, it's like there's times where like, okay, I need some alone time. I can't take this anymore. And you know, Jesus was okay with that. He went off into the mountain by himself often. Didn't he always tell his disciples where he was going? He'd step away, get some alone time with the Father, come back refreshed. When Kathy and I are going to go away for 3 weeks, part of that is supervisor, Greg Petrie, had said that you know, you're supposed to take your vacations. Well, last year we took 1 week. He says, no, you're supposed to take your vacations. You're supposed to take 3 weeks in a year. So put a deposit down. We're going to take 3 weeks this year. And I'm going to miss you guys. But we need that time, too. And hopefully we come back and watch that, you know, God's here the whole time. It doesn't matter whether I'm here or not. God's growing his church. He's building his church. It's not about Kathy and I. And he'll refresh us and build us up and lift us up, and he'll lift you guys up, and we'll come back together more fresh, more in love with God, more in love with each other. Married couples, you can get on each other's nerves if there's too much together time. Sorry. But then when I'm out in the middle of the night, she still wakes up for it. Frankly, I would have been sleeping if she was gone, because I would have known she's in good shape and God's got her covered. But
yeah.
No, it's we were created for good works that we can walk in them, and it's not like we have to rush into them and run in them, and it's not a big flurry. I had the privilege of working with lots of different types of people. Kathy's dad was really good at what he did, and he was a wonderful man. I love Louis a lot and miss him. But watching him work beside a professional electrician when they were putting the electrical into the house he was building. Louis was working really fast and getting about half of what Jim was getting done. Jim was just methodically walking in his trade that he knew that it was natural. It just came, and he's like, you know, no wasted motion, didn't set a tool down that he was going to need later and have to go look for it. How many of us have done that?
Yeah.
I mean, and there's different styles of work and whatnot, but as we walk in what God has created us for, and that's the one part I want to just touch a little bit on before we break for eating. The works which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's got different things for each of us to do. Last night when I showed up on scene, I wasn't the one that needed to do the job that James did, or that sheriff did, or that the medical examiner did, or everybody had their own work to do. And it all kind of flows. Yeah, and there's some overlap. There's always going to be some overlap, and sometimes we're taken out of our comfort zone to do something that we don't feel comfortable with. That's life. That's reality. God will empower you in those places where you don't feel like you're gifted or ready. He'll give you strength and take you through that. But if we know God well enough to know what does he design for us, what works does he have for us to do personally, and then we can get haughty about that and think, okay, yeah, he taught me that. I got that one down. So last night, early in the evening, I started baking cookies. And don't clap yet. I'm pulling them out of the oven. They didn't even look right. And I couldn't, I mean, it's like the top was cooked and the bottom was raw. And our oven has two settings, bake and broil. And I had turned it the wrong direction. Had the right temperature, all the right ingredients, did everything right except for that one thing. I think I've salvaged them. They're tasty.
Not quite.
But it's like we can't get too comfortable in thinking that we've got it figured out. I don't want my surgeon, if I ever need surgery, to think, yeah, I've done this 1,000 times. I can just go out the night before and, you know, party hardy and then come to work and do it in my sleep. It's like, no, thank you. I want you to concentrate. I want you to review in your mind what are the steps. Have a nurse checking to make sure it's been turned to bake and not broil. You know, or make sure that the decimal place is right with whatever medication's on that drip, because you miss a decimal point and it's a life and death situation.
Make sure they have all the tools they started with.
All the tools they started with. Yeah, when they close you up, you don't want any tools left in there.
No.
You know, all those things. It's like God's prepared us, and he's continuing to prepare us for a work. He's planned that way back before the beginning of time. And we don't even know what the next step is. But if we're open to God, He's going to show us what the next step is. He's going to be able to take us as we go through our journey, our life adventure, and we'll be able to go through it with love and joy and peace, because Holy Spirit fruit is just going to be evident as we're walking in the things that He's planned us to do. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you are the life giver and the life sustainer, that you're the creator of all things, and with your hand, they persist to just continue. And we thank you, Jesus, that we have each other, that your church, the us, the we, that you've prepared, are here to bump up against each other and assist one another, to catch one another when we start to fall. Thanks for your love, your strength. Give us courage and wisdom going forward. Your holy name. Amen.